Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 20th day of May. I'm your host, Paul White. Thank you for joining me as we journey into Genesis 2. In fact, we close, or at least try to close, Genesis chapter 2 today as we've arrived at verse 25. And they, of course, are Adam and Eve. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This description of physical Adam and Eve is one of the only descriptions we get of physical Adam and Eve. We don't know what they looked like. We have had the rib incident with Adam in which he was put to sleep and a rib was taken from his side, but we don't know how tall or the hair color. It's not the point of the narrative. It's not to try to give us those physical attributes, except it does give us a very fascinating attribute, is that they are both naked and that they're not ashamed. Now, the fact that they're naked really isn't that shocking, considering that they were created in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 when God actually forms them from dust. In chapter 2, verse 7, he breathed into his nostrils and the man became a living being. God puts man in the garden to dress and to tend and to keep it. There's no one. So from like a sociological point of view, we're not to assume there's anything odd about man being naked or that the intention is that man always be naked. I think we need to realize that there's something very deep going on here spiritually. That's the point of these stories, because if you take everything literal and then you go back, say, pre-fall, and that's how it's supposed to be, like, for instance, people say, well, we should be vegetarians because there's no indication that man ate meat until after the fall or after the flood. And therefore, God's original intent is that you eat only plants, therefore you should be vegetarian. By that metric, you should also not wear clothes, because if you want to be literal, they are naked. Not only should you not wear clothes, you shouldn't be ashamed of not wearing clothes. And I don't really want to live in a world where people don't wear clothes and aren't ashamed of themselves. A little bit of shame goes a long way in regards to keeping people covered. That's a pretty good thing. In fact, the shame of being naked in front of other people is very deep in our psychology. Now, we might have been looking for a way to explain that. Why is it that we are ashamed to be naked? You go, well, that's a societal construct. Society tells us we ought to be, and therefore we are. Well, okay, maybe so, but and no doubt there's something to that, you know, because you get taught, cover up, cover up. But I think that if we are to take the story of Adam and Eve and not keep it strictly literal, but keep it spiritual, in realizing that what we're understanding in their story are deep spiritual issues or deep psychological issues of how man understands himself, then the shame we feel with nakedness is connected to consciousness, because man doesn't become ashamed of his nudity until he becomes conscious of himself. Self-awareness, self-consciousness comes as a result of the Genesis 3 encounter with the snake in the tree. Then man, self-aware, becomes self-ashamed and then covers self. Why wouldn't he? So there's a lot we'll talk about as we get into the scales falling off, the eyes and everything, but here's something worth understanding. They were both naked, is what we find in verse 25. They don't know they're naked until Genesis 3, 7. That's after that fall. That's that conscious awareness. And so God creates them in a state. They're both equal in one another's eyes, and they're not hiding anything, and they're not covering anything, and they're not ashamed of it. So there's a pre-consciousness understanding that man of the condition that man was in. But I think we should keep it within the confines of what we know about Adam and Eve. At this point, Eve has been taken from Adam's side, and they've just been declared to be one flesh. And they're so much one flesh that they don't recognize anything particularly different about one another. They are one. I think maybe one of the points we're to take away with this is that if we sell ourselves to our spouse the way we're intended to, we drop shame. We aren't ashamed of ourselves in front of our spouse. We get to be who we really are. We get to be naked in front of them. And I'm talking about we get to lay our souls bare. We get to be, we don't clothe our emotions. We don't clothe our feelings. We don't clothe the truth. We don't hide behind masks and darknesses and dishonesties and half-truths and emotions. That when we are at the best version we can be in a marriage or in any relationship, we're naked. We're intellectually, spiritually, emotionally naked. And that where we run into problems in our relationships is where there is not transparency, where we aren't naked. And where we aren't naked is because there's something to be ashamed of. There's something to hide. And the more of those areas that we have, the less one flesh we are. And I think the point of that Adam and Eve's statement, that statement about Adam and Eve, they were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, is to show us the ideal relationship that we should have, and then to fulfill Paul's mega mystery, to show us Christ and his church, that he is laid bare in front of us, that we have nothing to be ashamed of in front of him, and we should be honest with him in the way that he is honest with us. He is transparent with us. He isn't hiding the future from us. He isn't hiding his intentions from us. That as we grow in our relationship with him and in our understanding of him, we walk into the fullness of knowing those things and understanding those things and living them out and walking them out. And that as we do that, we realize the purpose of our relationship was to get to the place that we realize we are one flesh. Now, are they literally naked? Well, according to the story, yes. That's the point of telling you the physical Adam and Eve. But I hope you'll realize that it's trying to say something far greater. And the reason I know that it is because when we become aware of it, it happens at the knowledge of good and evil. As consciousness enters, there comes this understanding of who we are. Now, when we get deeper into three and the eyes are open, there's a lot to say there that I think can be confirmed with some things that happen in the New Testament. But there's a lot of good stuff. That sort of puts a bow on chapter two. I'm sure we'll reach back into two the same way we have one and pull out information. But starting tomorrow on the podcast, we turn the corner into chapter three and we meet the serpent and the most cunning, more cunning than any beast of the field. We'll get into that story tomorrow. See you then. God bless.